The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Section. Do the ends justify the means? In one of our many fruitless arguments, I remember my father attacking Marxism for believing that the ends justify the means. By this, he meant that Marxists have no moral scruples and will stop at nothing to achieve their goals. Ironically, this is the same person who once told me, with a straight face, that the United States had to drop the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, quote, to save lives. In fact, every ruling class in the world operates on the assumption that the ends justify the means. In every war, these rulers risk the lives of millions of ordinary soldiers in the pursuit of their goals. The U.S. government stands poised to use the world's most terrible weapons of mass destruction if it deems their use necessary. Asked by a reporter in 1995 if U.S. imposed economic sanctions against Iraq that had killed 500,000 Iraqi children were worth it, Madeleine Albright, then the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., responded that, quote, "The price, we think, is worth it." End quote. The end justified the means. The ruling class, wrote Russian revolutionary Leon Trotsky in his book Their Morals and Ours, quote, forces its ends upon society and habituates it to considering all those means which contradict its ends as immoral. That is the chief function of official morality. End quote. It is therefore immoral to kill in peacetime, but a sacred duty to kill in wartime. It is impermissible for strikers to use force to stop a stab crossing a picket line, but perfectly acceptable for a police officer to use force to break up that same picket line. Lying and deception are defended by the CIA and military leaders as indispensable means to confuse and disorient other governments, while children are told that lying and cheating is immoral. The 1936 Flint sit-down strikers could not have won a victory over the auto bosses if they had not employed deception, creating a diversion that led law enforcement officials and company goons to the wrong plant, while workers occupied another plant. The real question for socialists is this: what justifies the ends? In the American Civil War, for example, both sides engaged in similar acts of violence. But one side was fighting to defend slavery, and the other to end it. In Russia, the soldiers who turned on their officers and joined the working class struggle to overthrow Tsarism were justified, whereas the officers who defended the Tsar by shooting at workers were not. As Trotsky wrote, quote, armies in combat are always more or less symmetrical. Were there nothing in common in their methods, they could not inflict blows upon each other. End quote. If all lying and violence are considered out of bounds, then of course humanity must renounce revolution and accept things as they are. In practice, not even struggles committed to nonviolence can refrain from it in the face of the violence committed against them. During the civil rights movement, for example, all of the Black Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, activists in the Deep South, facing the daily threat of deadly white violence, were armed. The Deacons of Defense, an armed self-defense group, protected many nonviolent protests from the Klan and racist police. Nevertheless, we cannot forget for a minute that not only the aims, but also the methods that ordinary people use in fighting for their freedom are fundamentally different from the methods of the rulers. Workers' power depends on collective rather than individual action. Democratic debate and action rather than heat. While it may be tactically necessary to lie to the bosses during a strike, mass movements must not lie to themselves. Ends and means are dialectically interrelated. The violence of a revolution, though necessary to break the will of the dominant classes, does not prefigure the future society that it aims to establish, i.e., one that is free of all coercion. Nevertheless, as the failure of the Russian Revolution shows, the means must be subordinated to the ends. If a worker state, in its desperate isolation, requires too much coercion to maintain its rule, then the means can overwhelm and smother the ends. A means can only be justified by its end, concluded Trotsky. Quote, but the end in turn needs to be justified. Beginning of long quote. For Marxists, the end is justified if it leads to increasing the power of humanity over nature and to the abolition of the power of one person over another. Permissible and obligatory are those and only those means, we answer, which unite the revolutionary proletariat, fill their hearts with irreconcilable hostile oppression, imbue them with consciousness of their own historic mission, raise their courage and spirit of self-sacrifice in the struggle. Precisely from this, it flows that not all means are permissible. When we justify the means, then for us, the conclusion follows that the great revolutionary end spurs those base means and ways which set one part of the class against other parts, or attempt to make the masses happy without their participation, or lower the faith of the masses in themselves, replacing it by worship for the, quote, leaders. End quote, and end of section.